This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
and Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right, well, the call was the wrong number, so that guy, I don't know if that's a good omen for the show.
Someone's like, who is this?
Yeah, The Drive. I answered the phone, I'm like, The Drive. I must have the wrong number. All right, it is The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper. But Derek's gone today. He is going to be at the Bears Cowboys game tonight at Soldier Field. Trevor Valise and I are going to hold down the fort. I've got to leave a tad early. We have a game at 6 o'clock here on the other side of Champaign. So you are going to handle the end of the show with little Trev's ticket.
That's fine. I can talk gambling for quite a while.
I was going to say, that's kind of right up your wheelhouse. I need to do mine still. And essentially, we're going to do all the championship games.
Yeah, I got a few NFL picks and then all of the college football title games, because that's pretty much all there is this weekend. Yeah. I mean, there's a few basketball games. Illinois-Maryland, obviously, Big Ten play starts, but I'm not messing with that yet.
What? Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. What is the spread?
For Illinois-Maryland?
Yeah, do we know? Check. I mean, I wonder.
It may not even be out there yet.
Really? Well, that's true, because the game is Saturday. Saturday at 4 o'clock, I believe, is tip for that
there's
game.
No spread yet.
No spread. Okay, so what do you think it's going to be?
Maryland minus
12?
I was going to say like 8.5.
Okay.
But yeah,
12
like
might
that.
Be too aggressive.
Yeah.
And I'm not, that's not even, that's more of me thinking Maryland's really
like
good.
Like the high single digits, I think.
Okay. Do you think Illinois has a shot against Maryland?
Against Maryland, no.
Okay.
I agree with you that I think they have a shot against Minnesota, Michigan.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the premise I use by saying that is because they're at home.
Well, that's a big part of it, though, and you beat Maryland last year on the road. I know it was
true.
A neutral court, but that matchup made no sense. Somehow you beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you possibly repeat that effort against them, especially now that they have that on tape.
Right.
And
right.
Maryland's so good. Now, I think the one area where Illinois might have an advantage is that other than Jalen Smith, they don't really have a ton of depth inside.
Okay.
So if you were to, which is what we've kind of been, clamoring for, stagger Georgie and Kofi
mm-hmm.
and alternate their minutes instead of play them together.
Good point.
You could potentially have two big guys in there if you play inside out, which they haven't really yet.
Yeah.
If you play inside out, you could potentially have two big guys going up against Jalen Smith for 40 minutes. Now, Jalen Smith is really good.
Yeah, and he's not going to play 40.
But, right, he's not going to play 40 minutes. So maybe that's your one area where you go, okay, if we can get Georgie going against whoever Jalen Smith's backup is, that might be one area where we have an advantage. But other than that, I don't see the advantage. I mean, Maryland is Miami on steroids in terms of, speedy, quick
yes.
guards. 3-point shooting from the bigs, even they're really good.
They're athletic. It's funny when I look at the saying of, yeah, I think we have a chance against Michigan. You could shoot holes in my theory so bad. The two reasons.
Well, it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's a gut feeling, but there's two reasons why I felt that. I feel that is because it's at home, but has Illinois really had a home court advantage and how long? It's been so long since Illinois has dominated at home to where I don't even know if that really is that much of an advantage. Normally they give, like in football, if you're at home, you get kind of a 3-point advantage. So if you see like a home team is a, let's say a 3-point favorite, essentially it's just basically a wash.
Right.
Because they're at home. So I don't even know what I would put Illinois's. Granted, they're going to be the underdog against Michigan, but let's say they were playing Indiana right now. I don't know. And let's say both teams were even, and let's say it's Penn State. Penn State, Illinois, both teams kind of even. I know Penn State's on fire right now, but I wonder what the home advantage for Illinois would be. Would it be 4 points? Would it be 2 points?
Well, I can look on KenPom's projections right now. They project that Michigan's going to win by one.
Wow.
Next week, 71-70.
Okay. All right. Well, the other reason I feel decent about the Michigan game is because Beilein's gone, and
Wagner's gone. I know his brother's there. And who was number one? Whoever the senior was. I about said Manny Harris.
Jordan Poole left, obviously.
Jordan Poole, but there was another guy that was from Illinois. I think he went to Kentucky, then he went to Michigan. I can't think of his name. It doesn't matter. He was really good. So I kind of, in that sense, I think to myself, all right, Michigan lost a lot. Illinois has everyone
You're talking
back.
About Charles Matthews?
That's it, Charles Matthews. So I thought, all right, so everybody's back. So that's kind of the reason. But yet, this is a Michigan team that until their clunker the other night, basically was maybe going to be ranked number one in the country. So you could take both of my theories and just say, okay, Lon, whatever. Last night I watched Ohio State. I know I told you I was not going to do that. And it is frightening. And my tweet was Chris Holtman, who has two N's at the end of his name. Chris Holtman now has elite talent to work with. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Ohio State is athletic.
You're preaching to the choir here.
They can shoot. Yeah, you're the one that said they'd win the Big Ten. They can shoot. They're athletic. They rebound. They're big. They're fast. They have a point guard that's small and fast. Washington, all of a sudden, is making shots from everywhere. Their freshmen look great, including that one dude. He looked good. He looks big.
Yeah, he is big.
I didn't realize how big he was. What's his name?
EJ Liddell.
That's it. I did not know he was that big.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And then Caleb Wesson is just huge.
Yep.
So they can play essentially an inside game. They can play an outside game. They can run with you. They can shut you down on defense. I mean, they were frustrating North Carolina last night at North Carolina. I don't know that this is one of the classic North Carolina teams.
I was going to mention that. It's a good win, but I don't think North Carolina's that good. Now, I don't think they're bad. Cole Anthony's a lottery pick.
Yeah.
But other than him, I don't know what they have.
I agree.
And I think I was watching, it was the battle for Atlantis that they were in. Michigan kind of laid the hammer on them. And, one of the announcers was saying they spoke with Roy Williams before the game and they just said, you could tell from his demeanor, he said, well, we've got a pretty good group. He wasn't talking like he sometimes does. The coach isn't going to come out and say it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't talking like he sometimes does when he says, we're a top five team. We could beat Duke.
Yep.
He says, we've got a pretty good group of guys, a top five, six ACC finish. So they're not the North Carolina, wow, they just took down number two North Carolina. They're probably a top 30 team.
I agree. And
but still,
they're
ranked
seventh, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's going
to
come down.
That's off name. That's off name for sure. But, yeah, well, how would you like to be North Carolina right now? And already you've been punked by Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. So I had this thought last night. So that was my thought on Ohio State. Plus, I think Holtman's, I think he's brilliant. I think Ohio State, I'm with you. Now that I've seen every team minus Minnesota, I have not watched
You're not
Rutgers.
Missing much. You're not missing much.
So basically, I've seen all the top teams. Except for Iowa, and I don't consider them
State.
A top team, but yeah, Penn State's undefeated, right?
Yeah, they're ranked 20th in KenPom.
And I've seen them play.
Yeah.
I've seen them this year. So basically, now that I've seen all the stud teams play, it's Ohio State's Big Ten to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, you called it early, and I think you're exactly right.
They're top 20 in every single statistical category except steal percentage, where they're 350th.
Ugh.
So essentially, other than turnovers, they do everything right.
I used to have Michigan fatigue. Now I've got Ohio State fatigue so bad.
That's fair.
I mean, so bad. So Ohio State and Michigan, they both hammer North Carolina. And it had me thinking last night. And I'm with you, not on the premise that North Carolina is a team that should make the Final Four. I mean, it's a Sweet 16 team probably. Maybe. But I started thinking last night, the Big Ten has not won a national title since 2000. That was Michigan State in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
That is a drought. You're now on year 20, essentially, of not winning a national title. Could this be the year? I mean, if you look at it, you look at Ohio State. Ohio State, by the time March rolls around, those freshmen, we say what do you call that when a coach uses a term we got to win it one game at a time?
Like coach speak?
Yeah, it's kind of coach speak that, well, those freshmen will be sophomores by then.
Yeah.
So, but they're going to grow. They're going to learn. They're going to continue to grow. And again, as mentioned, they can play in, they can play out. Their defense, they smother you. So Ohio State, I think, has a legit shot of making a Final Four.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with
Michigan
that.
State, until the day I pass away, probably, as long as Izzo's still there, will have a shot at a Final Four. Who am I missing? Michigan?
You got Purdue last night.
Oh,
they
yeah.
laid the hammer on Virginia, who's the best team in the ACC.
My goodness.
Just blew them out. which was surprising to see.
Wow. So
you got Maryland at 9-0.
Oh, Maryland. That's who I'm forgetting.
Indiana's 8-0. I mean, I know they haven't played anybody. But
Penn State 9-0.
Penn State 7-1.
Or 7-1. I thought they were undefeated.
Yeah, and then Iowa 6-2 with wins over top 20 Syracuse and Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't those last three teams. I don't consider
the
final
Ohio State 8-0. Michigan State is 5-3, but they played a lot of good teams.
Yeah.
Purdue is 5-3, but they just beat almost number one Virginia by like 40. Maryland's 9-0. Michigan's 7-1. I'd probably stop there, but you've got Indiana at 8-0 and Penn State is 7-1 right there.
I think you got five teams that could legit make a Final Four. And really, in what seems to be a wide open college basketball.
Oh, I'd say so. I don't know if there's a...
I think Duke is as...
I mean, Louisville's number one right now because they're undefeated and just beat Michigan. But before Michigan, they played Youngstown State, Indiana State, Akron. I mean, they didn't play anybody.
It's interesting.
Ohio State's number two.
Yeah.
Right behind them on KenPom right now.
And Michigan's up there, and you know Michigan State will be. And
Duke's really good, but they lose to Stephen F. Austin at home.
Yeah.
They almost lose to Winthrop. Like, I mean, they haven't been Duke. Purdue's good, but then they also have some of those losses. Kansas is another one I guess I'd point out up there.
Yeah, that's true.
They haven't really played anybody yet.
Arizona.
But they've been solid. Arizona looks really good.
Woo. Purdue is always Mackey good, right? I mean, you're not going to go into Mackey and beat them.
Right.
They have what Illinois had a decade or two ago, where you, when you came to then Assembly Hall, you did not win. You just didn't.
Right.
It was that simple. And Purdue's like that now, where you get there and boiler up. I hate hearing that. But, I mean, they were going – Matt Harms was making threes last night. I'm like, okay, this is getting out of hand.
And the Big Ten wins the challenge, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 8-6.
Yep.
Okay, so that's good. And it was funny. I was watching Twitter last night, and a lot of people were like, hey, do you think anybody will know that the Big Ten won the challenge? It's almost, and I know – I think this is – I think we're like the baby brother –
yeah.
Fatigue sometimes where we're like, oh, well, if the ACC won it, then ESPN would be all over that.
Yeah.
You know, Duke, Carolina, all that stuff. But now that the Big Ten wins it, we automatically think, oh, ESPN doesn't care. But it's hard not to go that route because when you turn on ESPN, you always see ACC.
Yeah.
I mean, I even told you.
Well, they just launched the ACC network as a partner of ESPN.
Right. I even told you that the one day that the one dude from ESPN wrote a great article about the different basketballs, and of course, the picture on ESPN, on right on the front page of the ESPN, is a Duke basketball. And I'm like, well, of course. I mean, because you don't give them enough. You know, you don't give them enough.
So you said you have Ohio State fatigue. Scott from Indy just texted in, I have Illinois fatigue.
Oh, well, good call, Scott.
Now, you're also burying the lead from last night.
What's that?
DePaul's 9-0.
Oh, yes!
And they beat a Final Four championship team last year in Texas Tech in overtime.
I tell you what, I was able to watch about 8 minutes of that game. Your boy, the point guard, Charlie Moore, is quick.
Mm-hmm.
And he does two things that I love out of a point guard. He penetrates to the right spot. You can penetrate and not make any difference as a point guard. He penetrates to the right spot. In other words, where he goes draws defenders. And not only that, when he delivers a pass, it's right where you need it. The catch and shoot deliver, right?
He had
right,
6 points boom. Last night, but he had 10 assists.
Boom. And it was fun watching him. And then Jalen Coleman lands, just went crazy.
Yeah.
Now, it was Texas Tech was awful at the end of that game playing defense.
Right.
I know Matt McCumber used to be a manager with Illinois, the old Tuscola Warrior, former Warrior. But Matt, I saw him tweet, and he's a guy that, you know, coached a little basketball. He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, you've got to foul up three. You've got to foul when you're up three because Texas Tech was up three, waning seconds. They set a screen low, and then Jalen Coleman lands wide. I mean, there wasn't anybody within 10 feet of him.
I'd agree with that with the added asterisk that it's in the waning seconds.
Fair.
I don't know if I'd do it if there's 20 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, and on the heels of that, Texas Tech missed a free throw that would have put him up for.
Right.
So maybe
Coach 4 seconds
Beard
left, absolutely foul.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you have a foul to give, that resets
it's
the
even
play
better.
For them, right, and then they have to start out of bounds again.
Totally agree. So, but yeah, I mean, DePaul... It's hard to ignore what Dave Lato in his second run now.
Right.
I don't know that. Is that unprecedented?
That a coach gets a second run?
At the same school?
Well, Greg Schiano just got hired at Rutgers.
Good call.
But it is weird.
It's very weird.
I think you see it more often than you think.
Because
there's a bit of familiarity there, I guess, with a school. I mean, I think it happens with schools like DePaul and Rutgers where.
Yeah, true.
You know, if DePaul, you know, no offense to DePaul, but if they fire their basketball coach, there's not exactly like a national clamoring to become DePaul's new basketball coach. And same thing with Rutgers football.
Yeah. So if Illinois could bring back a football coach, do you bring back Mike White or John Makovic?
How old is Mike White?
Well, he's old. Yeah, and that's the case. So, it's easy to say, well, first of all, on the basketball side, you'd say Self, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he's still coaching at a high level.
I was a huge Lon Kruger fan, and I think Lon Kruger can take any kind of talent and make him into a Final Four team, but you'd have to go Self on that end. And then on the football side, Mike White is pretty old. John Makovic is up there as well, so you got to take that into account. But Mike White, man, it was fun football when he was here. John Makovic was more successful,
right?
I believe, but certainly Mike White got him to the Rose Bowl, and that'd be fun. So I don't know. On the football side, it'd be a little tricky.
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
What if DePaul makes the tournament and Illinois doesn't?
Oh.
And the state of Illinois drought is broken, but by DePaul.
And don't even think that I wasn't thinking about that last night. I was totally thinking about that watching that DePaul game. I mean, you know, and they've earned it. I mean, they have won a couple of big games. DePaul has.
Yeah, they beat Iowa 93-78. They beat Boston College on the road by 6. They beat Minnesota on the road by 6. And they just beat Texas Tech in overtime.
Wow. And is this, so the thing about DePaul that you can spawn off that is to say, is this a one-hit wonder? Because Lance is a senior, right? I mean, it seems like he's been in school for 12
Charlie
years.
Charlie Moore is as well.
Charlie Moore is a senior. I'm not really sure about the rest. Is the one goggle?
Well, their best player is Paul Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the forward?
How about the bench guy in goggles that never plays? He is awesome. Is he a senior?
I don't know.
Scott Van Pelt last night was like, I want him on. I want to know his story. And I agree. I told you that when the boys and I went to a game a couple of years ago when Illinois beat DePaul, that's when Mark Smith went off.
Mm-hmm.
He had like, Mark Smith had like 18 in that game and 10 of them were free throws. But I remember in that game, we sat down near the basket. We were behind a basket, but we were low, like on the court. And I kept watching that guy for DePaul. And I'm like, who is that dude? But he's funny.
He's good at celebrating.
He totally is. So
something to celebrate.
Yeah. And they're 9-0. So you wonder, is this a one hit wonder because you've got a lot of seniors? And, you know, we've always said since I was young, when Mark Aguirre and DePaul were teams that were reckoned with, you know, nationally, I've always thought to myself, and I've got a buddy up in Chicago, David Rio, that I'm like, Rio, he's a DePaul fan. I'm like, can you guys ever be good again? And he goes, no, they're never going to be good. Well, now they have a new arena that almost looks more like an NBA arena.
Yeah, it does.
And I wonder if that's
a draw.
It's
in downtown Chicago as well.
So we've always thought of DePaul as like a sleeping giant, and you wonder if they could ever get traction. And could one good year, so if they make the tournament, win a game, kind of like Northwestern did a few years ago.
Now, that did not gain any traction.
None.
Just look at where they are now.
In fact, they you know what they did? They reached the yodeler on Price is Right. They reached the peak and then immediately started going downhill in a hurry. Like, they can't stop. So that's what I think. That's what I wonder about DePaul. Can they gain traction with one good year? Let's say they win one game in the tournament and make the round of 32. Now, all of a sudden, is Lato able to start bringing studs in from Chicago and keeping kids in Chicago? I tell you what, that recruiting Chicago is a whole different ball of wax.
Oh, yeah.
And I could totally see all of a sudden that becoming the thing to do is to go to DePaul. Let me ask you this. Would you be, now that all these kids leave and go to Duke and, you know, you got another one, DJ Stewart's going to Duke, Kentucky. Now that these kids all go to those Blue Bloods, would you be happier if they stayed in state and went to DePaul? Or would you be happier if they continued to do what they've been doing? In other words,
as an Illinois fan?
Yeah. Just as a basketball. No, as a person in Illinois, basketball fan. I think I would feel better if they stayed. I know that's stupid, but
I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it drives, everybody knows this. Jeremy Warner knows this. He laughed at me for 7 years, but it drives me nuts when kids grow up in the state and they leave the state. If you took the top five guys from every state and they stayed home, and let's say Illinois was the team that benefited, and you took the top five guys from Indiana and they stayed in Indiana, so on, through the 50 states, I mean, Illinois would be a Final Four team every year.
Yeah, because that's how much talent comes out of the state.
I mean, it's incredible.
Right.
And Illinois, the Illini, hardly get any of those guys.
No, but I don't blame them.
I
don't dislike DJ Stewart for picking Duke.
No, I know.
I don't really care.
I know.
I don't have the same, like, state pride thing that you're talking about.
This is why I know.
Because I know plenty of kids that non-athletically go to a college. I mean, look at Lucas.
Right.
Right? Do you hate Lucas because he didn't stay in the state?
Yes, I do, because of the weather. No, but, you know, here's the thought, though. we sit here and talk about, and I almost get this. In fact, I want to bring this up when we come back. The IO deal that's going on now. I feel like there's some anger in Illinois fans saying, and you know most of you have said this, well, if you're an NBA guy, then show it. And we need to see more out of IO. If Illinois is going to be a top-level team in the Big Ten, IO has got to do more. But the question is, you need IO not only for Illinois to be good, you need him to be good and go to the pros for the simple fact of you want to prove to Chicago kids that you can come here and make the NBA. You know, yeah. I remember saying that about Cliff Alexander. Well, you know, you can come here. If you're that good, you're going to play in the NBA. Well, it ends up he goes to Kansas and doesn't even hardly play in
right.
the NBA.
And what's funny is the only guy from the last decade who has is Kendrick Nunn, who was from Chicago, right. went here, but got kicked out of school.
You know, and now he's rookie of the year.
That's not funny. But you know, I mean,
Canada.
It's ironic that the only one, you know, from that area who's actually made it has been Kendrick Nunn, who didn't even remain here.
It's so true. And yeah, he was named national or NBA rookie of the month. Yeah. Tied, right? Yep. He tied with somebody or co-rookie of the month, in other words. So he's on pace to be rookie of the year in the NBA, which is awesome. But that's the thing that's, and I didn't tease that very well because we just basically said what I wanted to
say. No, but you're right. I agree with you.
So you
for
need,
optics alone, you need it to happen,
yeah,
right?
You need IO to be good. You need IO to make the NBA. So I would hope that no Illinois fan is out there saying, he's not very good. He can't play in the NBA. So I hope he doesn't make it. Or so I don't think many would say that.
No, plus you'd like Adam Miller if the hypothetical is that he wouldn't come if Io stays.
Yeah, true.
How bad would it feel if, you know, Io continues to struggle this year and say he just struggles from now on and then you see Adam Miller go somewhere else and kill it? You know what I mean? I mean, that would be...
It would be so Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we always say?
Yep.
All right, so we are going to talk... What were we going to talk about?
Well, we were going to do NFL playoff talk because we got Bears-Cowboys tonight, 2-6-6 teams. And then at 4:50 we got Mettler mix up with Matthew Gordon, and then we got Sean Harrington at 5:05.
Sweet.
And then I'll wrap us up with Ticket.
So we'll talk more Illinois basketball at 5:05 with Sean Harrington, and yeah, we'll do Mettler Center at 4:50. When we come back, let's kind of look at this Bears Cowboys game tonight. Both these teams in desperate need of a win. Basically, if the Bears lose, you're done.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys lose, there's still a chance
because they play in the NFC East.
Division this year. I'm not saying that. I mean, the NFC East has been really good for a long time, but it's putrid this year. So we'll look at that. And then I kind of want to look at if the playoffs started today, who is in the
NFL?
And
I've got that in front of me.
And then what do the Bears have to do to make the playoffs? I'm telling you, I just looked at their four games left. Wow.
Tough.
Oh,
it's tough. There's a chance, but it's tough.
Oh, hey, you can find us on Twitter. Just search at 93.5. What?
At the Drive.
At the Drive, 93.5.
Our podcasts are now on all platforms. You can find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, espncu.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive, 93.5.
And you can always text us, and we've got tons of them. I just flipped over, and there's tons of them going through. 217-359-2255. That is 359-CALL. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than your local Ace for lots of perfect gift ideas. Whether it's Steel, Milwaukee, Traeger, Weber, or Yeti, you'll find all these great brands and more in one great place, your neighborhood Ace. And to help make sure your gifts are under your tree on time, you can buy online and pick up in store or get it delivered from your local Ace. This Saturday, don't miss a chance to meet Santa at our neighborhood Christmas party from 11 to 2. Get great deals and more when you wrap it in red at Ace at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware.
ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr. Does anyone actually believe in any way, shape, or form that Eli Manning's Hall of Fame vote will come down to whether or not he wins more games than he loses in the final four games?
So that's ridiculous.
It's
not worth the conversation. But if he plays another entire season, does that then have an effect? Because most of us think he's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame at some point. He's not going to be a first balloter
I think he will get there.
At some point, he will most likely get into the Hall of Fame. Again, there are those that don't think he should get in the Hall of Fame.
It's the most interesting debate I think the Hall is ever going to have.
And there are those that say he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. I think most are like, yeah, he's going to get in, but it's going to take a little time. What could actually hurt that?
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Before I got married, my dad told me, happy wife, happy life.
Really? Mine told me, get her bling, you'll be king.
That man's a genius.
Your JCPenney associate will help you find something that sparkles as much as she does. Shop select fine jewelry up to 60% off. Plus, save an extra 40% with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. JCPenney rewards members get select diamond jewelry for just $25. JCPenney. Offers valid 12-5 to 12-11. Credit offer subject to credit approval. $25 diamond jewelry excluded from coupon. Other exclusions apply. See jcp.com for coupon and details.
'Twas the holiday season, and in your garage, a brand new John Deere. That's not a mirage. With neighbors admiring your shiny new ride, it's your year for a deer to fill you with pride. So if additional offers are what you desire, see our low rates before they expire. Now start up your engines and drive out of sight. New John Deere equipment for all, and to all a good night. Make it your year for a deer. See your John Deere dealer today to discover more amazing deals and attractive financing offers.
Lon, stop by CMI. Are you going to lay down a beat for me there? On Bloomington Road, if you are in charge of keeping your business clean and germ-free, you can check out eSprayer. This technology is great for schools, but also great for health, assisted living, and gym facilities. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today for more info or to schedule a demo. CMI, clean your janitorial and equipment experts, 217-359-6262.
Get a hold of the parks. That's what you do. All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Trevor Valise, Derek Piper off today. He is Chicago-bound. He may even be there. I don't know.
I would hope he would be by now.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to the Bears-Cowboys game tonight. So that leads us into the next segment of NFL Talk. By the way, Sean Harrington, we all know him, a former Illini. He now does a lot of analysis on TV. I think we're still for ESPN.
Yeah, for ESPN.
So Sean is going to join us at 5:05 to talk Illinois and Big Ten basketball. I think it's the perfect time. It was the perfect time to get Rittenberg on yesterday. It's the perfect time to get Sean on to talk Big Ten basketball and Illinois. I know the only thing we discussed about the Miami game, he just said, woof, that was a tough one Monday. I'm like, yeah, let's save that for the show. So that's basically what we did. And we'll do Trev's ticket at 5:40. Bears tonight. At home against Dallas, Chicago 6-6.
So is Dallas.
And Dallas 6-6 as well. The difference is Dallas at 6-6 has a one-game lead in the NFC East.
So they're currently the 4 seed in the playoff picture because they're leading their division.
And would host a game.
Yep.
And the Bears at 6-6 are basically 3 games behind the Packers and 2 behind the Minnesota Vikings.
I think we need to do away with the idea that the division winner automatically gets a home game, even if their record is significant. Because, like, look at the NFC West.
True. I mean, this is a worn-out argument, but you're right.
I know, but Niners and Seahawks are both 10-2. One of those teams is going to be the 6th or 5th seed and have to go on the road in the first playoff game.
Here's where the only reason I argue it is because the year the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl, they were 9-7.
So that's the reverse side of the argument. Yeah.
And they got breaks all along. Like the Eagles upset whoever that was, they upset so that then the Eagles had to go to Arizona and play the NFC Championship game.
I get that there's something to winning your division.
Yeah, but you're right.
But there's a competitive imbalance if you win a bad division and someone else in a good division finishes second.
And in Dallas's case, let's be honest, you're not going to sit here and say, well, that division is so hard that a team is just lucky
to get
through.
They're the only game in 500 or above.
Philadelphia is average. The Redskins and Giants are brutal.
They're combined 5 wins.
Oh, I mean, they're brutal. So the Bears, what are the final 4 games here for the Bears? You've got Dallas tonight. You've got at Green Bay, Kansas City, at Soldier Field, and then at Minnesota. There's a chance you could go 0-4 there.
Yeah. and then you finished 6-10.
Which, now, what were you last year, 10-6?
No, you were better than that.
Oh, no, better than
you're
that,
12-4.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's my fault. Wow, that is a is not a fun schedule.
In terms of the Bears making the playoffs, first of all, of course, you need to win tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because the road only gets more difficult from here.
Yep.
I think this is your easiest remaining game because Dallas is kind of a mess after getting, you know, the snot kicked out of them last week against Buffalo on Thanksgiving. You go at Green Bay, that ain't happening.
No, but the only good news is you're playing the two teams ahead of you.
That's true. So the chance is there. And then you get the Chiefs at home. They're really good, obviously.
Yeah, they are.
And then at Minnesota. Now, you've played Minnesota well, especially under Nagy. And obviously you played at Minnesota at the end of the year last year and again, blew them
out. That's true. I forgot about that.
But I think tonight is the game that you got to have because I think you don't need to win out, but I think you need to win 3 of 4 and get a lot of help if you don't win out.
So look at the NFC picture right now. If you did that, you would have either New Orleans, Seattle, or San Francisco as the one seed because they're all 10-2.
Yep.
And so let's just for giggles say it's New Orleans because the rest of that division is Tampa, Carolina, Atlanta. That's 5-5-3 in terms of wins.
Now so you get Seahawks, Niners in Week 17.
Okay, so somebody's going to take
care of it. That would definitely decide that without a tiebreaker going into it.
So let's say New Orleans would be the one seed. Let's say Seattle. Where's that Seattle Niners game?
At Seattle.
Let's say Seattle gets the NFC West and they're the two seed. And then the three seed then would be Green Bay.
Would be Green Bay who wins the NFC North.
And then Dallas.
Four seed would be Dallas or the Eagles. They play Week 17 as well.
That's right. Okay, then in terms of your.
Now the Niners are going to be one of those 5 and 6 slots because they're just going to be that good. So there's only one playoff spot up for grabs.
So you'd have like the Niners at Dallas.
Yep, that would, if you just, the scenario you just played out, it would be Saints and Seahawks get the bye. Vikings at Packers and Niners at Cowboys.
Wow.
So basically the Bears have a small chance to unseat the Vikings for the 6th seed.
Okay.
And they would almost definitely then play Green Bay again at Green Bay in the wild card game.
Minnesota, Dalvin Cook's hurt a little bit, although he said, I'm playing this week. Minnesota plays, who do they play this
week? Detroit at home,
okay.
So that's probably a win.
Yeah.
They go at Chargers, which has been weird and kind of unkind to some teams.
Yeah.
So you think there's a little bit of a chance with a West Coast trip that they lose that one. And then the following week, they get Green Bay.
Hmm.
So Green Bay could beat them, and then suddenly it's Chicago.
Okay. I think the biggest issue facing Chicago right now is their own schedule.
I'd agree with that.
It's just, it's going to be too hard for them to win 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Even if you win tonight, I just don't see them. I mean, first of all, you're going to have to score a little bit to keep up with Kansas City. And you can't score enough to keep up with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
If they ever figure out a running back situation, then they would be crazy. I mean, McCoy,
yeah.
Williams, they've got like a committee going there and they can be really, really good. So
also the Rams are in play as well and you got to keep that in
mind.
Because I just did the scenario. If the Bears won 3 of 4 and the Vikings lost 3 of 4,
yep.
Neither team would get in.
Oh, wow.
And the Rams would get in with a better record.
And the Rams, we kind of propelled them. Arizona did this last year. Yeah, because the Rams are 7-5. What do they look like in terms of
closing let's see what
time?
They got here. Rams, they have Seahawks this week, so that's probably not happening. It's a big game, though. Say the Seahawks win that one. And then next week, the Rams get... It's weird. I don't see the Rams. There's no way there's a bye week this late in the season.
Oh,
there they are. They go at Dallas.
Oh.
So that's two tough games for them right there.
And at San Francisco.
They're probably not going to get.
No.
What you would need to happen if you're a Bears fan, Bears would have to win at least 3 of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the most difficult portion of that. Vikings would have to lose 3 of 4, including the head-to-head against the Bears. And then the Rams would have to lose at least 2 of 4.
Okay.
So stuff needs to happen, but I guess the good news is the most difficult thing that needs to happen is what you can control, which is just win out.
Yeah, just win out. The Bears aren't going to make the playoffs, let's be honest.
No, I mean, we're talking about this like it could be.
Right.
They're not going to.
So now every win now the Bears have just hurts you from now
on. Yep, I'd agree with that if you're projecting forward because, you know, what if you say they finish 9-7 and don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst kind of year you can have, right?
It is because you're picking like...
Unless you're hoping Tua comes out and drops that far, and maybe you get him.
Which could happen.
Yeah. You don't even have a first-round pick. You gave it to the Raiders.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't even matter.
Never mind. Yeah, I was going to start talking about that, but never mind. Who's in line right now? Is it the Bengals still in line?
The Bengals got to win. And the Dolphins got a win.
So the Dolphins have 3 wins.
The worst team in football
wins,
is the Bengals at 1-11. And then right up behind them are the Giants at 2-10.
Oh, yeah, the Giants are bad.
Arizona's 3-8-1.
Right now, I think Arizona would have the 7th pick, is what somebody said. That doesn't make any sense. That tie in week one against
with the Lions?
Yeah, against the Lions is going to come back to bite them. Yeah,
I can pull up the order right here.
Atlanta's bad. Detroit's bad. The Giants and Redskins are bad. Yeah, ugh. Cincinnati's bad.
So
Miami.
Cincinnati gets the number one pick. Obviously, they're 1-11. Then it goes Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, Falcons, Lions, Jaguars, Cardinals at 8.
Man. Okay. Well,
there's a lot of bad teams.
Yeah. This is almost, the NFL is, I mean, would you say there's parity in the NFL? I guess you'd have to.
I guess. The bottom third of the league, though, is just putrid.
It's terrible.
I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that have 3 wins or fewer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. Now, that's interesting. And I don't know. So then let's check the AFC.
Right. And that Bears pick, by the way, if they finished like they would right now, it would be 18th, but it doesn't matter because it goes to the Raiders.
Okay. So in the AFC, Baltimore, by their win over New England, if it stayed the same, would be the one seed.
I think Baltimore is the team to beat.
I do, too.
They look so good.
So they're the one. New England's the 2.
Houston's the 3. Kansas City's the 4.
Okay.
So Kansas City at 8-4 would technically be the worst division winner right now. And then the 2 wild cards, if it started today, would be the Bills and the Steelers.
So the Bills would go to Houston or Kansas City.
Yeah, and then the Steelers would go to the Texans.
Okay.
I don't know how the Steelers are doing this. I mean, they're on their fourth-string quarterback. They don't have Juju Smith-Schuster, and they don't have James Conner.
My whole life. My whole life they've done this.
Yeah. Other teams in the hunt.
Oh, by the way, they get to play at Arizona this week. Pittsburgh.
Lovely.
And I know there's a lot of Steelers fans out there. I, as a Cardinals fan, want to lose every game. Because
that makes
at
sense.
This point,
yeah.
Why not, right?
Right.
Except for this week.
Revenge.
I was at the Arizona game Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Glendale. And of course, you're going to see a Rams jersey. Obviously, they're playing the Rams. You see a Niners jersey. And then all of a sudden, a dude walks by in a Steelers jersey. And I'm like, I didn't say this to him, but I was like, really? Like, that's rubbing salt. You know, you're the team that beat us to win the Super Bowl. You don't need to come in here. You're a week early, dude.
Right. I mean, it'd be like me going to Indians games and Cubs jerseys.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't really make sense for me, but
I was not happy with it. I was not happy, but the guy looked bigger than me, and I was
let it go.
I think I had him on pounds, but I think he could have easily taken me. So I was like, I'm just
fair enough.
Plus, we were sitting like 8 rows from the top.
I saw your picture. You were really high up.
Yeah,
there. Yeah.
And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to take a, the one you saw with the boys,
mm-hmm.
that was actually low in the end zone area.
Yeah.
But the one that where we sat, we didn't take a picture. We were really high. And I didn't want to go tumbling down that thing.
Right. Don't take a dive.
No.
Because some guys do when they start fighting across rows. Other teams in the hunt, I guess the Browns are at 5-7. But Pittsburgh just beat them again.
Yeah, but they've got Cincinnati this week, I think.
They have Cincinnati twice, and then they have the Dolphins.
Oh, well, hey, hold on then.
So if the Browns won out, and they get at the Cardinals, that's their schedule.
Oh, my! So the Browns are going to win. They're going to win 9 games.
Yeah, and at 9-7, they still wouldn't get in, though.
Oh, wow.
If the Steelers continue to win.
Well, yeah.
Other teams include the Titans are 7-5.
Wouldn't that be so Cleveland? We always talk about so Illini
and not get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you lost to Pittsburgh twice, I think.
Once.
Oh, once.
You beat them with that skirmish, but yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did win that game. All right. Well, I don't think who does Pittsburgh play to end it?
At Cardinals.
Yeah, they'll win that.
Versus Buffalo.
Mm?
At Jets. At Ravens. So they're probably going 2-2.
Okay.
But my point is, even if they go 2-2, they finish 10-6, one game above Cleveland.
Oh, that's right.
So the Cleveland needs to win out and then make Pittsburgh lose 3 or 4.
That's crazy.
The Titans are right behind the Texans in the AFC South, but who cares about that?
Yeah, the AFC South.
I guess the Raiders are still in it at 6-6.
Okay.
Below the Chiefs for a wild card.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. I mean, we're getting to that nitty gritty time now where there's always going to be 2 or 3 huge games each week.
Yeah.
And this week is for sure one of those times. And how about Buffalo? That'd be kind of cool to see Buffalo get in.
Yeah. I mean, they're a pretty good team.
For me, you know, I've seen Buffalo dominate back in Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. And unfortunately, their kicker, they couldn't make a kick.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, I mean, I have seen Buffalo dominate in my time. But if you're 20, if you're your age, you've never seen Buffalo dominate.
Nope. Buffalo's one of those teams that, because of when I was born, I've never thought of them as good.
Right.
Which is funny, but it's
just
true.
It is funny. And I'm so old that basically everybody's been good.
Yeah. Like, I remember my formative sports years, I thought Indiana basketball stunk. Because when I really got into it, it was like Sampson into Crean. There was one guy in the middle there, too. I mean, Dockich was the coach for like half a year.
Wow.
And I thought, man, Indiana basketball is terrible.
You went through the Verdell Jones when he was the only guy that was good on their team. Isn't that funny? That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, now I know.
Yeah.
But just as I was young and getting shaped into it, I thought, man, Indiana basketball is terrible.
Who's that Branch McCracken dude? Why do they have five national titles up
Buffalo
there?
Did make it last year, by the way.
Oh, that's
They played Jacksonville. And they were both were down to like their second or third string quarterback. It was not a good game.
How about Josh Allen coming to Buffalo, and in his 2 years, they've been in the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
If they make it this year.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive for Josh Allen.
I mean, they're only one game behind the Patriots, and I know that sounds kind of silly now, but.
And don't, I assume they play the Patriots.
They do.
Because.
I mean, it's in New England, but.
That's right. I mean, Buffalo was the first team to kind of stand up to New England this
year.
Early in the year when New England was dominating teams by 20. Or more points, which is absolute dominance in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Buffalo stood up to them. Was that in Foxborough? So will they play in Buffalo?
I'm not sure.
I think that game was at Buffalo, to be honest with you. So, yeah, well, who knows?
Juan is so old that everyone has been good, except the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, right.
That's from Tom.
Which is essentially what I just said, although I did see the Cardinals in a Super Bowl. So even they had like a 3 or 4 year stretch.
Yeah.
Where if you were in your formative years of like 16 years old, you'd be like, man, the Cardinals are a really good NFL team.
I thought that. I mean, I'm not rubbing salt in the wound, but after that Super Bowl, I thought that is the most entertaining Super Bowl I've ever watched.
I think so too. I mean, it was a
really good game.
Worst Super Bowl ever. How about New England? And what was the game? It was like 9-6 or something.
I was going to say the one where the Broncos came out and stunk it up against the Seahawks, and Seattle won like 42-0 in the cold in New York.
That was bad. That was bad. Wasn't there one, though, recently where the Patriots won?
Well, it was just last year against the Rams.
Oh, it was last year, 9-6.
Well, they didn't score a touchdown until late in the game. I think it was like 15-10 or something. Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah, we need better than that. Who's the halftime performance this year?
I believe it is.
I know this. I can't think of it. We're getting a little Janet
Jackson.
Maroon
5, is it?
No, that doesn't sound right. Maroon 5 would be all right.
Oh, they did it last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why it sounded familiar. It's not Justin Timberlake and Janet again, is it?
No. Jennifer Lopez?
Oh,
and Shakira.
Oh. I'm okay.
It's in Miami.
J-Lo.
So they're going for the Latin flair.
Okay. And then they'll probably have other people join them.
Sure.
What is what I... Just no Black Eyed Peas, right?
Let's hope so.
Is that the worst performance
that
ever?
That was so bad.
The only Super Bowl I went to, I got to see Springsteen.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That was pretty cool. And it was the old... You know, they gave you a stick, basically. You broke the stick almost.
To light it up.
Yeah, to light it up. And that was really cool because everybody, you know, halftime hits, all these people come rushing on the field, the ones that are sitting down by the stage. And I'll be honest, this is probably going to be like Mike Carpenter would beat me with a hammer right now, but I've never been a huge Springsteen guy except for his Merry Christmas, baby. But, you know, I'm more of an E Street guy. I'm kidding. But I know that Bruce Springsteen is a classic. He's an all-time classic. So to be able to be at a Super Bowl where he sang, I mean, essentially to say that I've seen Bruce Springsteen in concert.
Born in the USA.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool to be able to watch that. So it was better than John Cougar Mellencamp, let's say. All right. When we come back, we got the Mettler mix-up with Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon, and we've got Sean Harrington at 5:05. We got some fun coming for you. Trev's ticket at 5:40. I got to do some homework on that real quick. It is the Drive.
Crisis Nursery's annual children's holiday shop will take place Saturday, December 7th through Saturday, December 14th. Join us at our new location, County Plaza in Urbana, 102 East Main Street across from the courthouse. Kids up to 12 years old, shop with a volunteer for affordable fun gifts priced $10 and under. Like us on Facebook or check crisisnursery.net for info on times and celebrity volunteers, including Illinois and Parkland Athletics, and of course, Santa Claus himself. Start a fun family tradition while supporting Crisis Nursery's mission to prevent child abuse and neglect. We look forward to seeing you at the Children's Holiday Shop December 7th to the 14th at County Plaza in Urbana.
It's happening.
Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up. ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Hello, this is Shane Coulter of Country Arbor's Nursery. You already know that Country Arbor's is the home of the best phaser for a Christmas tree in town. And this Saturday, we're also home of Santa Claus. This Saturday is Country Arbor's Christmas open house. We'll have cookies, candy, music, and from 11 to 2:30, we'll have Santa Claus. Yes, Santa Claus will be taking pictures and listening to your holiday wishes. No long lines at Country Arbor's, and he loves dogs. So bring your kids, bring your pets, and get your trees, wreaths, and roping, and free pictures with Santa. If you can't make it Saturday, we're open 7 days a week until we're sold out. You can find out more information and directions at countryarbors.com.
Hey, Illini fans, we're going bowling. Coach Lovey Smith and your football team are bowl-bound for the first time since 2014. Get all your gear to show your support at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Whether you're looking for a great gift for the Illinois football fan in your life or just looking for a celebratory bowl t-shirt, Game Day Spirit is the store for you. Find us in Champaign or online 24-7 at gamedayspirit.com. And go Illini! Dealing with technology can be confusing and frustrating. With all the disorienting details of both wired and wireless technologies, it's easy to get things confused. Area-wide Technologies in Champaign make sure your virtual private information is secure and allows you peace of mind that you will always be connected to customers and their problems. Give Area-wide a shot at 359-8041 or head to their website at www.areawidetech.com and let them take the confusion of cybersecurity out of your hands.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it's The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Trevor Valise. And it's time for the Mettler mix-up with our guy, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, not much. Just enjoying another beautiful, sunny day here. Oh, wait. No, not so sunny. Sorry.
It wasn't bad today, though.
No, we actually had the sun today.
Right.
That was nice.
Right.
We had it today and yesterday. That was good.
So it wasn't bad. I've never asked you, Matthew, who do you root for in the National Football League?
Oh, man, this is going to make a lot of people dislike me. So first, my loyalty is here in Illinois. I am a huge Bears fan. I've always grown up being a huge Bears fan. But for the part that people probably won't like, I'm actually a Brady fan as well.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Specifically because of the comment he made after he got drafted when he said, I want to show that there were 198 wrong choices made this year.
Wow, that is kind of cool.
I mean, there's a ton of stuff I don't like about him because I know I'm already getting text messages from people. So I clearly I've made someone unhappy.
I mean, let's be honest, Josh Rosen said 9 people made the wrong decision, and we won't ever see really Josh Rosen.
Matthew subscribes to the TB12 diet plan.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I've looked into it a little bit, and I'm just like, this seems a little weird. But for him, I mean, something's working.
Well, right. Obviously, something's working. All right, we've got a listener-submitted question, and after you hear it, you're going to think, all right, that was Lon. But it is not me. So it says, here was the question. I'm starting to work out for the first time in years. Yeah. I'm checking boxes as we go. I don't want to pull any muscles. Well, I'm not worried about that. What's better, doing a low weight for a lot of reps or a higher weight for fewer reps and doing longer running on a treadmill at a low speed or shorter running bursts at a higher speed? So in other words, sprinting. Maybe sprint the poles, as they say, when you're in town, a small town, you can sprint the poles and then walk the next block, then sprint them again. What would you do, what would you suggest out of those things?
You know, I think for someone who's just starting to get back into working out, keeping the intensity low is probably the smarter thing to go with here. If you haven't been working out for a couple years, when you're first starting to do some weightlifting type stuff, pick a weight that you know you can do correctly. Because when you start lifting, you have to learn how to lift.
Right.
You have to learn, oh, this is what a bench press feels like. And if you're doing that with light weights, your rotator cuff is going to turn on at the right time. Your pecs and your triceps, they're going to figure out how to work together.
Boom.
And you need to learn that efficiency before you start really loading it. You really want that system to understand the movement you're getting ready to do before you really start loading the system. I
Makes
mean,
sense.
You know, depending on how long this person's been out of exercise, might even be good to spend a week or two doing some machine, you know, for different exercises, leg press, bench press. A lot of gyms will have, like, curl machines, just so that way there's less errors to control. There's less motion to control. Then you can get more into your free weights, which have more to control, so it's
right.
going to be a little harder on the stabilizing muscles.
Okay.
And then as you get better at that, you can start adding a little weight as you go. Once something's, you know, easy, you can add on a little bit of weight. Once, you know, three sets of 10 is easy, drop down to three sets of 8, add on some weight. And then if you want to get into more strengthening, you can take that into figuring out what your one rep max is, figuring out what like 80, 85% of that one rep max is. And then you can try and do repetitions at that to try and build some strength.
There's
a lot more to that than just that. But, you know, that would be the strengthening side.
Before we get to the running, it's so funny. Like, I'm not a small guy by any means. You know, I'm fairly, like, fairly big bone, let's say. But when I work out, I'll do the same thing. Like, on a bench press, I won't put any weights on, and I will do that 8 times just to kind of get the the rhythm. And then maybe my first time, I may only get up to where I've got 2 tens on each side. And people, I just see people looking at me going, you should be a lot stronger than that, dude. I'm like, I'm not.
I mean, it's because you look like Jameson Harrison, right?
Boom, right. Thank you.
I mean, yeah.
Probably Jameson Winston would be the better comp to that one. All right, how about the running? Is it better to, cause, you know, for people like, let's say me, if I start to work out, I know I used to be able to run a mile, but I have to start walking and then I don't feel like 30 minutes later that I did anything.
Yeah, I think, you know, the big thing with cardio is the exact same thing we just talked about with the weightlifting. Whatever speed you're wanting to get up to. So if you're wanting to get back up to running, you really do want to start with just get on a treadmill, let your body get used to it, because a belt is very, very different than running on the ground.
No doubt.
So just get used to that. But one of the keys that I always tell all of my patients is, so when you're on a treadmill, you have to remember that that tread is actually moving. When you're out on the ground's not actually moving. So the tread actually does part of the work for you when it's on a level surface.
Got it.
So you're not actually going to have to use your muscles quite the same. That's why so many people, when they're doing a walk, don't feel like it's that hard on a treadmill. So what you do is you crank the incline up. And what you'll find is when you walk on a treadmill with an incline on it, you'll actually really start having to use your calves, you'll really start having to use your hamstrings and your glutes, all of those posterior muscles, and you can get a really, really good workout if you start getting that treadmill, you know, mid-level out of its incline, or getting it in the top half or even all the way elevated, and you can actually get a better workout. You can get your heart rate up faster. Just walking at like 2.5-3 miles an hour at a full incline than you can if you're just sprinting. And the nice thing is you can keep that pace. So, you know, that would be where I'd start. Just get on the treadmill, feel it out, start building up an incline, start going intervals where you're walking at an incline and then you bring it down level and you can jog a little bit. And then if you're wanting to get into sprinting, jog a little bit, walk a little bit, jog a little bit, walk a little bit, and then start mixing in sprints like you
Perfect.
Had said, you know, pole to pole.
All right, buddy. Matthew Gordon, that's some great advice. Listen, whether you've, you know, all of us take a break once in a while from working out. So this is great advice for everybody starting to get back into shape. And it's a good time. It's always a good time to start getting back into shape. I'm trying to talk myself into it. So, Mettler Mixup, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon. Great stuff, my friend, as always. And we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Let me know for everyone out there if you need any help with this. We're always here for you.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. Matthew Gordon, and he's right. They are awesome. Get in touch with the Mettler Center. They will handle it and get things corrected and help you out with tips like that. All right, next hour, starting it off with Sean Harrington. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.